29 Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 10 and 11. The Lord will plead to crush him in infirmity. If he give his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished to him. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. To his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Second reading from the letter to the Hebrew, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Brothers and sisters, since we have a great high priest who has passed to the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have the high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He replied, What do you wish me to do for you? They answered him, Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said to him, We can. Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right or my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard it, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, You know that those who are recognized as ruler over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. Sharing of the reading, the theme, the meaning, and the value of sufferings. People want to have power to rule, to get respect, and to be served. This ambition leads to jealousy, contention, and destruction, because no one wants to be lesser than others. A dry disciple is taught to be a humble servant and to serve others. This model leads to love, unity, and building up a community. Looking into the result of the two models, one can recognize right away which model shall be better for both individual and community. Because of selfishness and individual greed, many people deviated from right way. Or should they reading concentrate on right, the model for humility and serving others? In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah foretold what shall happen for God's suffering servant. He shall be trampled with suffering to redeem people's sin and to fulfill God's will. In the second reading, the author of the letter to the Hebrews reminded the faithful to imitate and to come to Christ every time they suffer, because Christ went to all human sufferings, so he knows how to help them to overcome suffering. In the Gospel, when the two brothers, James and John, came and asked Jesus a favor, which is to let them to sit one on his right and one on his left when he reigns in his kingdom, Christ warned them that they do not know what they are asking for. Other apostles were indignant with the two brothers because they wanted to have that favor too. Jesus gathered them up and taught them, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all." Second analysis. First reading. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many. First point. The suffering servant sacrificed himself as an offering. God and human beings, when they merge through something, they do it for a purpose. If the suffering servant chooses the suffering way by sacrificing himself to be the sin offering, three following benefits shall happen. First, the benefit for God. God's will shall be done. It is his plan of salvation for people. He does not want people to die, but for them to inherit salvation. Because of his love for his Father and for people, the suffering servant, who is Jesus, is ready to suffer for God's will to be fulfilled and to bring people back to God. Second benefit. The benefit for Arthur. Isaiah wrote, "To his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Everyone sinned, and as a result, they must die." The suffering servant wants to take people's sin and punishment on himself, so that people's sins are forgiven and they shall be justified before God. The result of people being justified is the everlasting life for a human being. Third, the benefit for himself. The prophet Isaiah listed out, if he give his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life. Because of his affliction, he shall see the light in fullness of days. Christ's descendants are those whom he saved. In the last day, he shall reign over them and his kingship shall have no end. Since he foresees the result, the suffering servant wants to accept all sufferings. He knows temporal suffering can be compared with eternal happiness. With the three great benefits, the suffering servant was ready to sacrifice himself to endure all suffering to fulfill God's will. Second point. What shall happen if the suffering servant rejects sufferings? First, God's will shall not be done. This would not happen because there is a perfect communion between the Father and the Son. Second, human beings, God's beloved creatures shall be lost forever. Third, he shall not see great descendants being saved and will not be their king forever. Second reading, Jesus Christ, who had been tested in every way, yet without sin. Third point, God chose the suffering way. First, Christ went through all sufferings of a human life. Many of us are easily discouraged and claim on God when we must face sufferings. But we should not forget that this is the way which God chose for himself and his Son to bring salvation for us. We suffer because of our sin, but God had no sin to suffer these sufferings. The author of the letter to the Hebrew advised the faithful to completely put their trust in Christ. Since we have a great high priest who had passed to the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Second, suffering can be overcome. One important thing that helped Christ to overcome suffering, because he knows suffering are only temporal and not able to be compared with the glory which he shall possess. Christ came and lived in the world for only 33 years. He went to his public mission for only 3 years, and his passion and death lasted only a week. After that, in the glorious victory, we should learn this point from him to overcome our suffering. We should not let worldly temporal glory prevent us from reaching the eternal life. Each time we are hurt by suffering, we should look at him on the cross, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, that without sin. The second point, we need to learn how to suffer at Christ. First, the purpose of life must guide our life. Like Christ, who always knows how to unite with Father, especially in the most suffer moment of his life, he always asked for his Father's will it fulfilled. Likewise, we must be sure that the purpose which God wanted to live in this world is to work for our and after salvation. If we lose this purpose, we shall easily fall into the traps of the invisible enjoyment and the devil's temptation. Second, our strength is in Christ. He lapped earth his teaching in scripture, and he treasured objects to his established sacraments. The author of this letter advised us, so let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. Sacraments are only the source of grace for our life. With grace, we can overcome any kind of suffering. Without grace, there is no way for us to overcome. Neglecting of the sacraments is the main reason why people are not able to overcome sufferings. Third, the gospel. If we share in his suffering, we shall also share in his glory. Third point, human ambition. Jesus' apostles are also human beings. Though being called and guided by Jesus, they still have selfishness and ambition to exceed others. Today, Pastor reported their reaction when Jesus foretold his passion the third time. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He replied, What do you wish me to do for you? They answered him, Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left. Second point, if they share in his suffering, they shall also share in his glory. Jesus used this moment to teach his disciples about the value of suffering and the condition to have glory. First, glory through suffering. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said to him, We can. Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. The cup which Jesus is about to drink is his passion and death. His baptism is the baptism in blood. The true brother might not nearly understand it, but because of their desire to have power is so strong, they said that for Jesus' question. This is also a prophecy for what shall happen to them in the future, that they shall also pass through the way of suffering at Christ. James became the first martyr among the apostles in Jerusalem. John, though is not a martyr according to the tradition, but must pass through all kinds of suffering and live a long life. Second, glory is given by God. Jesus continued to tell them, But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. We do not know how heaven is organized, but according to Jesus, the ruler is the one who has loved and served others. Third point. Other apostles' zealous reaction. According to human standpoint, there are only two most important places in heaven, but the two sons of Zebedee asked for them. Therefore, the other 10 apostles became indignant with James and John. We can see that this pattern often happens in human beings, beginning with a desire to be rated, and then finding all possible ways to attain this desire. When they are not able to attain, they shall find all possible ways to contend with others. This leads to quarrel, unrest, and separation. If the apostles keep fighting, they are unable to attain salvation even for themselves. They are unable to help others to attain their salvation. Jesus used this opportunity to teach them the following. First, he differentiated between the purpose of his disciple and of the Gentile leader. The purpose of the Gentile leader, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as ruler over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. Since the Gentile leaders do not believe in salvation for the next life, they pay attention to the power in this world. They want to be respected, to give order, and to be served by others. The purpose of Christ's disciples, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. The purpose of Christ's disciples is to attain salvation for themselves and for others. So if they must sacrifice all for this purpose, they should be ready to do it. Second, Christ set a good example for his disciples. He said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ not only taught it, but also carried his cross to set an example for others to follow. Application in life. Today's world has so many selfish people who thirst for power, fame, and material gain. It needs more right disciples such as Saint Vincent de Paul, the Pater of Ars, Mother Teresa Calcutta, and Pope John Paul II. As Christ's disciple, we must imitate him to humbly serve others, to bring life for others, and to develop our community. If everyone wants to be worldly leader, we shall serve the poor, who shall serve the poor, the sick, and the unfortunate. Amen.